5 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, and once again, Penny Faree is in the studio for another edition of Uncensored. Penny, over to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dave, and welcome to all our listeners who've tuned in for another episode of Uncensored. There's a lot happening right now, so I'm going to dive right in. Our main story today revolves around significant new revelations in the case of the suspended Kwadikoozie Municipality's Chief Financial Officer, Shamir Rajkumar. Now, we covered the story extensively last year, but those who might need a refresher, I'm going to do a quick recap. Shamir Rajkumar was placed under precautionary suspension in July last year, where disciplinary action was initiated against him for alleged financial misconduct relating to irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. The heart of the issue dates back to 2018 and involved bank charges incurred during a change of bankers. So Kwadikoozie claimed that the transition between its old and new bank account should have been smoother. They argued that the old account should have been closed earlier, the new one should have been operational sooner, and then obviously it led to approximately 37,000 rand in unnecessary bank charges. However, this isn't just about bank charges. The local civic action groups, Kwadikoozie Residents Forum, Ilembe Civic Action Movement, along with ratepayers and opposition parties, have accused the municipality of using this charge as a pretext to push him aside. He was the gatekeeper to the municipality's coffers, and this was also during a critical time when KDM received 1.2 billion rand in flood-related disaster relief funds last year. Now, what's troubling is that this disciplinary hearing, which should have been concluded within 3 months, has been dragging on for almost a year, and there's still no resolution. His legal team have accused KDM's legal representative, Zoom and Partners, of employing delay tactics to extend the process. And so far, the legal battle has cost the ratepayers over 3 million rand. And Kumar's counsel have taken the grievances to the Minister of Kochta and the Auditor General. They're alleging misuse of public resources by Zoom and Partners and the municipal manager. Now, here's where the plot thickens. According to two separate ANC sources I spoke with this week, ANC councillors are planning to boycott the council meeting next week unless the municipal manager, Nhlanhla Mdikana, agrees to reinstate the CFO. Now, the council meeting is crucial for adopting the new budget, and any delay could have serious repercussions. I reached out to the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association's Deputy Chair, Dion Fuljoen, just to give me a detail on what could this mean to our council.
Hi, Penny. If that happens, they're in trouble because they've got to get the budget approved by council and then send it through to province, national treasury, provincial treasury, and then national treasury to get it approved by them, as well as they've got to, after that, then gazette it in the newspaper before the end of June. So their deadline is to get it gazetted by end of June and approved. So I would imagine they'll have to have an urgent special council meeting if they don't approve it next week on, what's it, Tuesday, I think. Yeah. Something like that. Hope that helps. Okay, keep well. Bye.
So a senior source within the ANC confirmed that the party's provincial executive committee did not support Rajkumar's suspension and believes that a decision should be rescinded. Now, this was echoed by a senior ANC member at a recent rally in Stanger Manors. He was responding to ratepayer concerns and the ANC regional secretary, Praveen Sham, he stated that the ANC did not initiate or support the suspension. The community has rallied behind Rajkumar. He's a seasoned civil servant who has overseen 17 consecutive unqualified audits for the municipality. And despite reaching out for an official statement from the ANC regional secretary, he did not respond to my request for comment. Action SA's caucus leader, Nal Suraj, he confirmed this. He said that the ANC dominant council wants the CFO reinstated, and he actually went on record. And listen to what he has to say about the situation.
Good day to you, Penny, and all the listeners. From council's point of view, there have been some new developments with regard to the CFO matter, and I think our residents have a right to be informed about the new stance of council. You would recall from last year that the ANC and a few smaller parties voted in favor of the CFO suspension and his disciplinary hearing. And you would recall that most of the opposition parties, we believe that investigating the CFO was nothing more than a witch hunt and it was a plot to remove him. And so we were not in favor of the CFO suspension or his discipline from the onset. And that was last year. However, from the beginning of this year, it appears that the ANC caucus has had a change of heart. And we first noticed this at two special council meetings which were held in February, the 6th and the 9th of February to be specific. Now, at these meetings, the matters of the appeal of the CFO and the appointment of an acting CFO were tabled. So at these meetings, the revoking of the CFO suspension was also mentioned. And council as a whole, which included the ANC, they instructed the MM to bring an item to council, an item which would pertain to options that council had and could consider about how to go about revoking the CFO's suspension and how to get the CFO back to work. Then the matter came up again at a full council meeting on the 28th of February when the appeal of the CFO was tabled and it was discussed at length. And council was again unanimous and clear. They had already instructed the MM to bring an item to council pertaining to options at their disposal to revoke the CFO suspension, and they wanted to discuss nothing else except that matter. Since that council meeting on the 28th of February, nothing has come from the municipal manager to the council. And it appears that the municipal manager, the MM, has been dragging his feet with regard to council's request or what council mandated him to bring to them. And if this is the case, then you know the MM is definitely overstepping his authority. What's more, at our last special council, which was held just last week on Tuesday, the 7th of May, at that council meeting, when we are discussing an item regarding the acting CFO post, which required renewal, I raised the matter again and I reminded the municipal manager about the mandate that council gave him to bring an item to council about revoking the CFO's suspension. And what happened thereafter is a lengthy discussion ensued, as many other councillors as well, including the ANC, they followed my lead on the matter. But in his defense, the municipal manager, he began to quote clause 29 of the standing rules of council. That's a clause regarding motions. And he stated that no councillor had submitted any motions to the Speaker's office with regard to revoking the CFO's suspension and about rescinding council's previous decision taken about the CFO suspension. He stated that that's why he had not acted on council's mandate. Now, I find the MM's response very absurd and truly very upsetting. Because, you know, it's been 3 months since council first requested the municipal manager to bring this item to council, but nothing was forthcoming. And he remained silent about it. And now 3 months later, when council raises the matter again, he brings up the issues of motions. The question is, why didn't the municipal manager inform council in over 3 months that a motion is required to be submitted by council on this matter? Now, as far as I'm concerned, the MM has his own agenda on this matter. He appears to have no intention or desire to revoke the CFO's suspension. I believe that the MM is dead set on continuing with the disciplinary processes against the CFO at a cost of millions of rands to the ratepayers. And this is unacceptable. The MM simply cannot overstep the mandate or the authority of council. You know, in fact, the prerogative of senior managers like the CFO, it rests solely, completely and ultimately with council, not the municipal manager. So at the rate the municipal manager is continuing, you know, I won't be surprised if council soon takes a decision to dismiss him.
Interesting, and we'll take a little commercial breather and we'll be back with Penny Faree and Uncensored on the other side of this.
The outdoor life is for everyone. And our clothes are too. It's made to last in the sun, wind and weather. Whether you're fishing, hiking, camping or going to work. Get all your favorite brands like First Ascent, Cape Storm, African Nature, Hi-Tech and Columbia all under one roof. Outdoor warehouse for every adventure. Also shop online.
Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito offers exceptional customer service for all your vehicle needs. Located in the heart of the community, they're easily accessible, making it convenient for you to find your perfect Toyota. Their highly trained service division and parts center is committed to providing expert technical advice and sourcing parts nationwide, ensuring your complete satisfaction. Our people deliver. It's not just a slogan, it's their promise to deliver a superior experience. Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito, where exceptional service meets all your motoring needs.
Lux Zimbali, powered by Dwell Properties. Discover Lux in Zimbali Estate, the final and most unrivaled sectional title development to date. Lux Zimbali is the epitome of luxury coastal living. Located on the award-winning golf course's signature hole, Lux boasts incredible golf course and sea views. Lux residents will enjoy access to Zimbali's world-class facilities, including the magnificent Valley of the Pools, the family-focused Bushbuck Club, the newly renovated Capital Hotel, as well as direct beach access. With limited opportunities remaining, discover 3- and 4-bedroom condos and villas starting from 5.5 million. Contact our team at luxzimbali.co.za to book a site visit and discover Lux Zimbali.
The heartbeat of Bolito, 88.0.
16 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, and we're back with Penny Puree in the newsroom on Uncensored.
Yeah, so that was very interesting. What concerned me, though, I have to bring it up, is that electricity department, KDM's electricity department, they recorded 263 million rand in losses last year, yet no consequent management has ever been forthcoming in that department. No one has been brought to task. Yet, Raj Kumar incurs 37,000 rand in banking charges in 2018. That matter was reviewed by the Municipal Public Accounts Committee. They set it aside, and then all this time they bring it back up again. So, you know, it does boggle the brain. Now, Raj Kumar is set to challenge his suspension at the South African Local Bargaining Council next week. And obviously his reputation has been hit. He's incurred significant legal costs defending himself, and he alleges that the corruption and irregularities marred the council's vote to suspend him. So we'll wait and update you on the story as it continues to unfold, and obviously we will see what happens at the council meeting next week when they are supposed to adopt the budget, which is very crucial for our region. And then in other news, obviously KwaZulu-Natal is considered a very strong battleground province in gearing up for elections on May the 29th. State security is on high alert, drawing lessons from the 2021 unrest. Polling data suggests that the ANC might lose its outright majority, potentially forcing it into a coalition. A significant variable is the rise of former President Jacob Zuma's MK party, which some polls suggest could take up to 10% of the vote in KZN. When reached out for comment, Commander Major General Anthony Gopal stated they are at a high state of readiness to deal with any situation that may arise during the election period. Obviously, this is something that's playing on everyone's mind, taken the trauma that everyone went through in 2021.
But there's been no threat of insurrection and nonsense, other than if they don't let Jacob Zuma represent MK,
yes,
there will be a problem. Yeah. But I don't think anyone is particularly... do you get a sense that there's anger broiling as an undertow to all of the political overtones?
No, you know what? I felt apathy. I went to the townships, and you know, there were a lot of the people. I'm going to look at the story. I'm busy developing it for next year in terms of what the townships, the service delivery, what they're thinking in terms of the parties. And a lot of them said they aren't going to vote for the ANC. They have had enough, and the MK is a second choice for them. So it's interesting.
But from what I can determine, the MK is really taking votes from the EFF rather than the ANC in KZN.
Yeah.
They've been pretty active in that regard, and that's been reported by many political commentators and observers. But you know what, at this point in time, it's just observations and early polling, and no one really knows.
Yeah,
I have a feeling, though, that we're going to, to a degree, not get the best outcome come 29 May, but I don't think we're going to get the worst either. That's typical South African narrative. You know,
yeah.
It's the country where the best never happens, but then neither does the worst. So I reckon, call me, you know, jaded or whatever, but I think the ANC is going to come back. Maybe not with an outright majority, but certainly in a coalition of some kind. I don't think it's going to be with the EFF because, well, you know, they're pretty far apart there.
Yeah, they're quite a nihilist, the EFF, eh?
Well, so. There it is. I'd be interested to see how the Patriotic Alliance shapes because you just need the one kingmaker.
Yes.
And I rather believe, you know, call me nihilist if you like, but I think that Africa has always responded to a dictatorship of a kind, hopefully a benevolent or benign dictatorship, but that's really the kind of style of leadership for the next 5 years until things turn around, and hopefully they do, but I don't think we're going to see a moderate Western democratic leadership
emerging. Oh no, don't say that. I'm still putting my hopes on the multi-party charter or SA agreement.
Well, here it is. Let's all hope and put our white light and all the good things that are there. But be prepared, I think, to be disappointed.
No, I'm hopeful. I refuse to bow down to that. So I'm just, you know, I put some questions out to the newsroom. I asked, you know, I said some questions that our listeners wanted our newsroom to answer regarding the elections. And obviously, someone said, what are the voting station hours? So it was 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. on election day. That's how long we'll stay for. And just one thing, the proof of identification. A lot of them asked if I could take my ID, not my ID, passport or driver's license. That's a hard no. You either need a South African ID card or your a green barcoded ID book or temporary ID certificate. The other forms of identification will not be allowed. So if you've lost your ID, you need to get a new one or a temporary ID as soon as possible. You can apply to your bank or go to the Home Affairs Department and they'll issue with a temporary one. And
apparently they are working overtime.
Yes.
So
that happened to me in the local government elections. Yeah. I went in there and they were so efficient. I was in and out. So don't be afraid. They aren't.
It's interesting that when the chips are down, shall we say, these departments that are bloody useless normally suddenly manage to rise to the occasion.
Exactly.
And therein, urgency. I think, lies our salvation.
Put a sense of urgency in there. So, yeah. I want to go through the three-ballot vote next week because that even confused me. It's a process. So we'll get someone in here to explain how it's going to vote. I mean, we're the only country we have 70 political parties and 11 independent candidates. The first time in our seven, national elections that is happening. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, absolutely. And make sure that you catch Penny in the newsroom on Uncensored in a week's time, because I don't think that anyone really knows what to expect at the polls this time round. It's going to be challenging. We'll make it as simple for you as possible. Thank you, Penny, for another exciting edition. It will be up as a podcast on our website and on our apps. And no doubt it'll be fascinating. If you've just joined us and you've missed the whole thing, don't worry. You can catch it up very simply on our repeat podcast coming your way shortly. Penny Faree, our journalist at large on Uncensored, will be back in 1 week's time. The afternoon show continues.